This chazar zeichin is a bechad chashag. Remember, Yehuda mesechta ksuba staff kufches. Zok the mission of a husband traveled overseas and a person went and supported the wife that was left behind. Chanon says this person has lost his money. The husband doesn't have to pay him back. The bnei kahan gedolim argue and say the person swears how much he spent and then collects that amount. Rav Dais ben Hyrcanus agreed with them. Rav Yechon ben Zakkai agreed with Chanon and said that it's as if the person put the money on the horns of a deer. He knew it was a good chance it would be lost. Flech tigamar. Mishnah says, if one made a neder to prohibit another from benefiting from him, the prohibiting person may still pay the machzor shekel for the person that's prohibited. He also may pay off a loan for him and return the lost object to that other person. If it's customary to get paid when returning a lost item and the prohibited party is the one who returned it, that payment should go to Hegdish. Now, it's understandable why he may pay his machzor shekel and return his lost item, because those are considered to be mitzvahs. However, repaying his loan is simply benefiting him, and that should be aser. Rabbi Shaya said, this mission follows Chanon, who says that the payment of someone else's obligation does not create a benefit that must be repaid. Rava said it may even follow the Rabbanon. The case of the Mishnah may be that the debt had no due date, and as such, repayment could have been delayed for a long time. Therefore, repayment for him is of no real benefit, since he has no real current obligation to pay. In fact, Rava didn't say like Rabbi Shaya, because he wanted to make the Mishnah follow the Rabbanon. But why didn't Rabbi Shaya say like Rava? So Mara says Rabbi Shaya feels that even if there was no due date on the loan, the fact that it's repaid saves him embarrassment from the creditor. That in itself is considered to be a benefit. Zakta Mishnah, Adman gave 7 rulings in which he argued on the Rabbanon. The first is regarding the following case. If a person died leaving over sons and daughters, if he leaves over a large estate, the sons inherit it and the daughters are supported from it. If it's a small estate, the daughters are supported from it and the sons have to go around begging. Adman said, just because I'm a male, I should lose out. Or Gamliel said, I agree with the words of Adman. Adman seems to suggest that a male should be in a stronger position, not a weaker one. Why should a male be in a stronger position? Abaye said, because he learns Torah. Rava asked, does that mean that only a male who learns Torah inherits? Rather, Rava said, Adman meant that a male is stronger in that he inherits in a larger estate, so why should it make him lose when there's a smaller estate? Zuck the Mishnah, if someone claims that another owes him jugs of oil, and the other person admits to owing empty jugs, but not full ones, not ones full of oil, Adman says he has to swear since he admitted to part of the claim. The Chum say the admission is not on the same type as the claim, and therefore no swearing is required. The Gamliel said, I agree with the words of Admin. Frek the Gemara, the Chum in the Mishnah would seem to hold that if a plaintiff makes a claim for wheat and barley, and the defendant admits only to one of them, that there would be no oath needed. This refutes Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel, who said that the defendant would need to swear. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, said, our Mishnah is talking about where the claim was only for a certain amount of oil, not the jugs itself. As such, it's not the same as the case of Shmuel. In fact, if so, why does Adman say he has to swear? The Rava said the case of the Mishnah is where he claimed 10 barrels of oil. Adman says the claim is that claim is on the barrels as well. The Chum say that claim of 10 barrels of oil is only on the oil, not on the barrels. This would seem to say that if the claim was clearly on the barrels as well, all would require that the defendant swear. If so, this refutes of Chiyabar Abu, who says that when the claim is for wheat and barley and the defendant admits to one of them, he does not have to swear. And for the Gemara, Rashi actually said, claiming a barrel with oil is like claiming a pomegranate in its peel, meaning it's considered one claim and not two claims like the claims of wheat and barley. Therefore, it can't be used to refute the view of Rav Chiyabar Abu. Ravina asked, a fruit without its shell is not protected, but oil without the barrel is. These cases therefore can't be compared. Ravina therefore said that our Mishnah is a case where the plaintiff made a claim for 10 jugs of oil. And the defendant said, first of all, I don't owe you any oil. And second of all, I only owe you 5 empty barrels, not 10. Adman feels that the original claim includes a claim for the empty barrels as well, and since he admits to part of the claim, he has to swear on the other barrels. And also, once he's made to swear on the barrels, we also make him, with Gilgalashul, we make him swear on the oil as well. The Chum say that the original claim did not include a claim on the barrels, and therefore an admission on the barrels is not an admission on the claim, and therefore no shu at all is necessary.